This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I am joining you guys from Dammam, Saudi Arabia. Originally, I'm from Pakistan, but I'm living with my husband and two children here in Saudi Arabia. I'm working as the lecturer of psychology at Islamic Online University. And inshallah, today we'll be talking more about Corona. I'm so happy to have all of you here, and I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our time very productive and make this, whatever I have to give, inshallah, to you, make it productive for you and make it beneficial for you. All right, let's begin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So before we really start, I have to ask you a question. What comes to your mind when you hear the word Corona? Okay. Blessings, alhamdulillah. That's really nice to hear, Brother Victor. Very good approach. Okay, fear. Very true, very understandable, very natural. Okay. Pandemic, it's a sign that we have to do tawbah to Allah. Okay. Okay. Death comes to your mind. Fear. Death from Allah. Fear. Okay. It's Allah's plan. Very good. Okay. Ta'un. Okay. A sadness. Virus. Life-threatening ailment. Okay. Fear. Death. Okay. Everything is from Allah. Self-isolation. Reminder. Okay. Okay, so thank you very much, and I completely understand that all these words come to our mind when we hear the word Corona. So when I talk to people, they tell me almost the same thing. It's a test from Allah, or, you know, it's a what comes to their mind is fear, uncertainty. Some people take it as something positive. Some people talk about death. So Alaikum Assalam, time to connect to Allah. Very good, very good, subhanAllah. A very good input. So I'll just tell you what I want in my FB Live or my webinars is to have a structure, right? So I'll just give you a structure of what we are going to be discussing today, and then I'll elaborate. So please pay close attention. So I'm just giving you summary. I'm just giving you the abstract of what we are going to be doing today. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. So this is a collective wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So please don't mind if I'm not able to answer everyone individually. So inshallah, what we are going to try to do today is to just move my vision from your chat so that I can inshallah focus on the content now. We will be studying Corona and the circumstances especially related to Corona from four different perspectives, right? And we will try to tackle the situation from four different angles. These angles, count with me: emotional perspective, mental perspective, physical and spiritual perspective. Somebody can type it for me, please. I'll say that again: emotional, mental or intellectual, physical and spiritual, right? Remember that these perspectives are not mutually exclusive. They just kind of overlap each other, but that's what we'll be doing today, summarizing. All right, so are we ready? Inshallah, can we get started? So we will start with emotional first, right? So the situation, again, as we just talked about, it's chaotic for quite a lot of us. There's fear associated with it. There is uncertainty, a phobia, depression, and it's completely understandable. So what I would like to start with is, let's talk a little bit about fear, right? What is fear? And what we can do about it. So broadly speaking, fear can be divided into two types, right? I'm constantly reading your chat, so I just want to move my vision from your chat so that I can focus. Okay, so fear can be broadly divided into two types. So we have fear of Allah, and it, of course, it includes everything that Allah has asked us to be fearful of. That includes Jahannam, that includes his punishment, his wrath, and everything. And then we have fear of ghayrullah, anything that is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Which mostly comes from shaitan. Now, fear of Allah, I usually say that it's a healthy kind of fear. Why? Because it motivates us, it encourages us to be conscious of our actions, to be conscious of our deeds, and, you know, use this word as a tool to, you know, get successful in the hereafter or to work for the hereafter. The other kind of fear, which is from Shaitan, it is debilitating. It just kills us psychologically. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, and which is like completely, it goes so perfectly with the current circumstances, that a shaytanu ya'idukum al-faqr, that Shaitan threatens you with poverty. And, you know, just think about what we are thinking at this point of time. You know, all the food supplies will end, or, you know, oh my God, I'm going to die of hunger, or all the grocery stores will shut down, the pharmacy will be closed, and all these things. These are the fears that are coming from Shaitan, right? So the question is, why do you think Shaitan wants us to be fear? Why Shaitan makes us fearful? What does he want? Any idea? Any guess? I'll just see your chat again. Why Shaitan threatens us or instills fear in us, especially when it comes to you know, subhanAllah, faqr, that the food supplies will end, the crops are dying. Very good, to make us away from Ibadah. I'm really looking forward to having your responses so that you can make it interactive, right? So we can forget Allah. Very good, very good. Fear is a way to control. Very good, very good. To shake our tawakkul. Very good. To be attached to dunya and forget akhirah. Very good responses. I'm so proud of all of you. MashaAllah, excellent. Very good responses. So just to rephrase what all of you said, Shaitan generates or instills fear in us. Shaitan wants us to be fearful. So that fear makes us inactive, right? The fear instilled by Shaitan leads to inaction. That's another way of saying that. He tries to make us lose hope. He tries to make us see the negative side of everything. And it just kind of makes us unproductive. And I'll repeat that once again. The fear instilled by Shaitan, generated by Shaitan, it leads to inaction. And guess what? All the promises made in Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the promises of Jannah and every reward, every single reward is associated with action, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, how beautiful is the ajr, is the reward of those who take action, right? So if one of us is sitting home scared, fearful, that's what Shaitan wants from us, right? Just like one of the sisters just said that he wants us not to do anything, something like that. So what I would invite you to do is to see where the fear is coming from. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, if we try to access or if we try to reach the cause of something, understanding that entire phenomena becomes very easy. So where is this fear coming from? Is your fear coming from, is it fear of Allah or is it fear of Ghairullah, right? And then I would invite you to see how to deal with that fear, right? How do you deal with that fear? So one of the ways that I keep reminding myself, and I would invite you to remind yourself as well, is the beautiful hadith regarding plague. And I'll read it for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is a punishment that Allah sends upon whoever he wills. But now I really want you to focus. Allah has made it a mercy for the believers. Allah has made it a mercy for the believers. Any servant who resides in a land afflicted by plague, remaining patient and hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that nothing will befall him but what Allah has decreed, he will be given the reward of a martyr. Right, subhanAllah, what a win-win situation for all of us, right? So, since the whole world is now afflicted, so wherever you are, or wherever we are, if we survive this, we are going to get reward from Allah. If we die, we are a martyr. Again, a win-win situation for a mu'min, a win-win situation for a believer. So much hope this hadith brings back in our lives. So again, I would say this hadith actually acts as an antidepressant in current situation, right? And wallahi, I'm saying this to you, even if I die of this virus, I believe in the word of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I'll be given the status of a martyr. And if I survive with patience, my ajr is with Allah. In either case, there is khair, right? So that's one way of dealing with this fear. Are you guys with me, inshallah? Another way to deal with this fear is to find out if it's real fear, right? And by real fear, I mean the fear of Allah, or hypothetical one. Hypothetical one meaning one could be fearful of, like, I have headache. So what if I have COVID-19? Okay, I have COVID-19. What if I pass it to my family? What if everyone in my family develops COVID-19? What if everyone dies? What, you know, the world comes to an end? Now, this is what hypothetical fear, right? And this is, of course, you know, at certain point in life, some of us do get affected by these hypothetical fears as well, right? So I'll just give you a few psychological techniques to deal with it. Please keep the hadith in mind. That's the best perfect solution. And I would just invite you to, if the fear is really debilitating or it's really causing a lot of trouble in your life, maybe you can print out that hadith, or you can write that hadith and paste it on your mirror, and you can read it every day. So you can remind yourself, if I survive this, inshallah, I get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I die, I'm a martyr, right? It's just a win-win situation for me. Apart from that, if you're just having panic attack, or if you're having this fearful situation, some of the techniques can be, number one, it's deep breathing, right? Deep breathing. Now, this sounds like really simple, but trust me, it is one of the most effective technique that you can actually, use to ground yourself, or use to access the solution providing part of your brain, right? And it's really simple. You have to inhale through your nose. Usually in my class, I give a demonstration of that, but I'm not able to do that right now. But I hope you'll get it as I say this. You inhale through your nose, hold it for a few seconds, and then let go of exhale through your mouth, right? So you inhale through your nose, hold it for a few seconds, and then let go through your mouth. And it is one of the most effective techniques, you know, get control of yourself, inshallah. The other solution is what they call water therapy, right? So I usually ask my student, what is your first feeling, no matter how depressed you are, no matter how fearful you are, when either you make wudu or you subhanallah take a bath, and when you come out, how do you feel? What is the post wudu feeling? Okay, alhamdulillah, feeling good, fresh and pure, happy. Yes, because that's what the properties of water are. It makes you happy, it makes you feel clean, it makes you feel so much fresh. Yes, exactly. So staying in wudu is one of the easy way to become a better version of yourself, right? Relaxed, very good. Yes, you're feeling this, washed away from sins. Excellent. So that's what I'm saying, that water therapy, either you make wudu or you take a bath, it's one of the greatest ways. I was just saying that it was one of the easy ways to, subhanAllah, be a better version of yourself. All right, let's move on. And then comes my favorite. Another way, again, to quickly change your state of mind is gratitude, right? Gratitude, seeing the positive side of the picture, right? What's good in this hardship? What's the learning? What have I been put into this situation for? What can I be grateful for? What can I still be grateful for? Am I stuck at home, or am I safe at home, right? I can't go out, or am I getting time to spend with my family, right? So what I would invite you to do practically is that at the end of each day, take time to reflect. Take time to reflect on what you are grateful for today. And just try to be specific and try to notice each and everything. For example, you know, alhamdulillah for the fresh air that came in my room as I opened the window, although I was not able to go outside, but the fresh air could still come in. I would invite you to start a gratitude journal or make a gratitude jar. A lot of studies have been done on this topic, and gratitude has been found to be associated with decrease in stress and in depression, inshallah. So I'll just add a little bit to it. So if you can develop the skill of finding positivity from every negativity, wallahi, you're a champion. You will enjoy the taste of iman that normally people do not enjoy that taste, right? One of the shuyukh used to say that even if the entire world around you is on fire, your heart should be at peace, that, you know, the fire can only touch me if Allah wills. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, you know, on the same lines, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, قُلْ لَنْ يُسِيبُنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا وَمَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that something will not strike us, okay, just doing the rough translation, and nothing will struck us except for what Allah has already decreed for us, right? So Allah is asking us to rely on Him. So practice gratitude with family. Ask your children to tell you or to share with you what they are grateful for, and trust me, they'll surprise you. And if we can practice it right now, just to take a few of the responses, what are you grateful for right now? Even if you are stuck in your house, even if you are under curfew, I am under curfew at this point of time. So what is that for you? What are you still grateful for? Praying with my family, asking Allah's forgiveness. That's excellent, mashallah. To be with the children, excellent. Excellent, mashallah. So keep practicing gratitude and you will have this peace and serenity in your heart, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Quran that وَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you'll be grateful, Allah will give you more. Not being affected by COVID-19. Very good. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So another technique, again, to tackle with the panic and the fear that the current circumstances are generating, is to practice mindfulness. And if we practice mindfulness, inshallah, it will help us a lot to let go of the fears and bring us, bring ourselves back to the present moment. And it doesn't have to be, a lot of people say that you have to sit on the mountain and do ajeeb stuff. No, you don't have to do anything strange. And it doesn't have to be rocket sciences. Science, simply focus on your breathing or any soothing sound that you hear. Or, you can also practice mindfulness while being in sujood, or maybe thinking about Jannah. I think about, when I have to practice mindfulness, I think about Jannah and think about it like really meticulously. I imagine it. So whatever, anything that can serve as helpful anchor to come back to the present moment and let go of worries, inshallah. All right. Are you ready for the next one? It's going to be a little tricky, right? Forgiveness. So we are dealing with the emotional part of the current circumstances, the emotional part of dealing with COVID-19. Oh, that's so beautiful, sister. I think this is not quarantine time. This is family time. Alhamdulillah. I'll leave the question answer session. I'll leave the space for question answer session in a while. All right, forgiveness. Trust me, again, holding on grudges is just like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So we have the virus to attack us. So let's let go of the grudges, right? Forgive people. The more you forgive, the easier will it be for you to fight with the virus. The stronger your immune system will be. And trust me, there are studies available on that. The moment you let go, the moment you set yourself free, inshallah, your immunity boosts, because your emotions have an effect on your physical body, right? It's just not that it has an effect on your psychological being. It also has an effect on your physical being. Or if you have to seek forgiveness, then go ahead, call them and just ask them, you're sorry for X, Y, Z. And inshallah, both of you can mend. So we were talking about forgiveness. After that, inshallah, it's also a reminder to connect with your loved ones, right? So any vulnerable family member, anyone who you would be thinking that might be panicking or might be fearful, then maybe it's a good time to call them, check upon them, maybe share whatever you're learning with them, inshallah. May Allah make it easy for you. A little bit about the emotional effect of isolation. So trust me, no, I have to say this first. So if you are totally alone at home, then inform your neighbors or someone to keep a check on you, right? But if you are with family, then it's, you know, remember that a lot of good things happen in isolation. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given prophethood in isolation. So many things, Yusuf Alayhi Salaam's forgiveness was accepted in isolation. So many good things happen in isolation. So expect something good to happen from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, inshallah, right? So next is that change the self-talk from negative to positive. So what, I mean, forget about the world. What are we talking to ourselves? I can't handle this. There's so much fear outside. I'm just going to get the virus. There's virus on the grocery bags. There's virus on my mobile. There's virus everywhere. And, you know, I cannot protect myself. And so many people are dying. And how come I can save myself? Tell yourself, yes, okay, I can handle this. I'm a mu'min, right? I can handle this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't burden a soul more than it can carry or more than it can handle, right? So let's hear it from you. What are the negative things that people are saying to themselves? Just a little bit about that. What are they talking about? I hear people saying a lot of things like the world is coming to an end, and maybe Allah knows, but inshallah. So then so we have covered emotional part. We have covered quite a lot from emotional part. So now is the time to discuss the mental perspective of dealing with this entire COVID-19 situation, circumstances, right? Now, since again, most of us are in isolation and we have quite a lot of time in hand, the question is, what are we going to do with this time? See, we human beings, we have mental, or let me say, we have intellectual needs, right? And these needs are as important as any other need, as our physical need or emotional need or spiritual needs. Our intellectual needs are also very important. So our brain wants to learn, our brain wants to explore, our brain wants to understand, grow. So how do you fulfill these mental needs? I have a few suggestions for you, inshallah. So the first one and the most important one is to have a purpose or have a direction in life, right? Having purpose in life is, you know, just like going on a straight path, and then there are distractions here, distraction there. But you're not bothered by those distractions. You still keep going on, and you just keep going on till you're done with this life, right? So having a purpose is so, so powerful. Like personally, I believe that my purpose is to teach people. So no matter what is happening here or there in the society, in the world, in my life, of course, I'm concerned with that, and I take proper measure to deal with that. But what I don't give up on is my purpose, is teaching, right? And again, the way we're talking about the fear that shaitan instills in us, one of the tactics of shaitan is to make us believe that, you know, what's the use of discovering your purpose now? What's the use of starting something now, right? What's the use of, let's say, memorizing Quran? Or what's the use of teaching now? The world is falling apart. Qiyamah is here. Or, you know, what's the point in homeschooling? Or what's the point in studying from IOU? Or what's the need of degree now? Because, again, the world is falling apart. And just, leave everything and just sit and wait. Oh, no. The importance of still doing these things or still discovering your purpose is that every single step that you take to reach your purpose has ajr, has reward associated with it. And it's not about the product, it's about the process. And it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And you know, this is the reason that, again, a beautiful hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that if qiyamah were established upon one of you while he was he has in his hand a sapling, then let him plant it. Yani, even if you're planting a plant and qiyamah is here, don't stop, plant it. So you see, this is our religion, so beautiful and so practical. Keep doing it. Keep fulfilling your purpose every single day. Have a schedule, set yourself small goals every single day and achieve those goals. Inshallah, it will keep getting you the reward. It will help you to deal with the situation. It will help you to boost, inshallah, your immunity and also your self-esteem. One of the suggestions that I can give is that you can do a lot of courses. IOU is offering all its diploma courses for free, I believe for 2 months. Inshallah, the moderator can guide me on that. For 2 months, I believe. And again, it's an amazing opportunity to learn from a wide range of topics that we are offering at our diploma sessions, inshallah. And there are so many courses available for kids, for people are doing WhatsApp courses, people are doing courses on Zoom, Tajweed art. Please go ahead and join those courses. And if I can challenge you to do one of your own courses, what are you good at? Are you good at painting? Are you good at Tajweed? Are you good at helping people memorize Quran? Are you good at anything else? Are you good at cooking? Maybe you can start your own course. Why not? Right? And as we're talking about fulfilling the mental needs, I'll just take a little bit of time to help you find out how do you drain your mental energy, right? Movies, TikToks, unnecessary or mindless scrolling on Facebook, Instagram, online games. I don't know what version of games. SubhanAllah, so many varieties available. I'm not a very online gaming person at all. So as I was talking about, you know, draining your mental energy, time is absolutely very precious. And this time is especially precious for introspection, for getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek repentance, for accountability, right? It's not the time to, you know, keep doing what we were doing, my dear brothers and sisters. It just kind of makes me slightly emotional, but it's the time to make Allah happy and radhi with us. And I just request you, do not come out of the situation achieving nothing. Because tough times, they teach us what ease and comfort can never teach us. So please let it be a learning experience. Let it be an experience to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let it be an experience to become a strong mu'min, inshallah. All right, inshallah. Let's move on. Go on an information fast. Go on an information fast means you don't need to count the number of people affected in every single country on earth, right? X number of people are dying in USA, X number of people are dying in Pakistan. What's the point? I keep saying that WhatsApp University has every course available on Corona. Your brain has a certain capacity, and I request you all to please save yourself from those news bombardment that drain the energy, especially the rumors, right? Rumors, it just completely takes away your mental energy. And this is the reason, you know, when we go to the bed at the end of the day, we feel so exhausted. We feel that our head is exploding. A student of mine, she was complaining that it feels that my head does not shut down. My brain does not shut down. Why? Because it has taken so much information. It has taken more information than it can handle. And also all the news channels, they keep bombarding us with the negativity. I'll give you a small task, right? And if you do not listen to news, please don't waste your time. It's just for those who do, right? Just sit for half an hour and see the news and just count how many good news do they give you and how many bad or sad or depressing news they broadcast. And you'll understand why I discourage you to listen to news so much, right? So the question is, where to take the information from? Of course, we need the information and the correct information. So I don't know what's there for you, but we have here the ministry. It keeps sending us relevant SMSs. We have official websites that we can go to and get as much information as we need. So inshallah, that is sufficient for us, right? So see what works for you, where you can get the subhanAllah, the kind of news that is important for you. One important thing is rumors, right? It's another, again, we just talk about it, but it also takes away your mental energy. Or forwarding messages without authenticating. It also hurts our self-esteem, you know, it also hurts our self-respect. People stop respecting us and trusting us for anything when we just keep spreading the rumors, right? Prophet ﷺ said that it is enough for a man to prove himself a liar when he goes on narrating whatever he hears. So just hear with one ear and just goes on and tells it to the entire world. It just takes away your dignity along with your mental energy. So just pass on the information when you know that this is absolutely authentic and absolutely necessary. There's another, you know, on a similar note, I just said that we don't need to be excessively scared of the situation. At the same time, we should not be making fun of the situation, right? A lot of people are making memes and forwarding jokes. That's not the attitude of a believer, right? We will discuss the attitude of a believer in a while, but just ask yourself, does that suit me as a mu'min? You know, just forwarding that Russian president sent, I don't know what, lion on the roads, or XYZ prime minister was crying. Does that really suit me? Or, you know, some people are sending messages like, I'm counting my bathroom tiles while in quarantine. Really? And some people are tagging and asking, you know, oh, what name should I get you and all that thing. How is this a smart use of time? Time is precious. And lastly, in this mental part, focus on what you can control. You know, a lot of people are saying a lot of things about the current situation. Okay, whatever it is, you just focus on what you can control, because you will be questioned on the day of judgment about what you could control in this world. I'll just give you a simple example. Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he puts it very beautifully. He says that you have a circle of concern and you have a circle of influence, right? For us, the circle of concern, of course, at the moment is in the entire world. We are worried about what's happening in the world. So my suggestion is make dua for everyone, for the safety. And then we have a circle of influence, something that we can control, something that we have influence over. It may include our parents, our siblings, our children, our students. And above all, it includes ourselves. Right? It's time to change our habits, time to give up on sins, have a strong connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's time for this. And this is what you have control over. The more you focus on what you have control over, the more or the better you will feel, both emotionally and mentally, inshallah. So we are done with the mental part as well. All right, let's discuss the physical part. The physical way of dealing with the situation, the circumstances related to COVID-19. Okay. So before I start, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people can ask me, why are we discussing it when we can put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So before I really get into this, I would like to answer this question. A man said to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, should I tie my camel and put my trust in Allah, or I should leave her untied and trust in Allah? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, he said, tie her and trust in Allah. That ekaliha wa tawakkal. Tie the camel first and then put your trust in Allah. So a mu'min is the one who enjoys a fine balance of tawakkal and action, right? And Islam is, again, a very practical religion. Subhanallah, it takes us all, it encourages us to put our trust in Allah and take all the necessary measures at the same time, right? So I'll just discuss the physical perspective. I'll just further break it down into two parts, the internal part and the external part. So when it comes to, let's discuss the external part first. So what we can do is that one of the greatest thing that we can do to support our physical body is that we can exercise, right? Exercise produces hormones that, you know, kind of makes us feel happy. And some of the studies show that these hormones, they work even better than the antidepressants, right? Just a small, again, task for you, that do some exercise and just notice the mood change, right? Even if you're extremely cranky, extremely groggy, just do some exercise, like the real exercise, not that, you know, I prayed salah, that was my exercise. No, not that kind of exercise. Salah is salah. Just like something that can actually increase your heart rate, or something that actually can make you sweat. And then just notice, how do you feel? You'll feel extremely great, because the hormones produced as a result of exercising, they make you feel happy, they make you feel that as if you have accomplished something. Then something, a remedy that is available to, subhanallah, all of us, very free of cost, it's sunlight, right? Free vitamin D, free killing of germs, and especially post-Fajr time. So when you pray, maybe you can take your Quran and go out and enjoy some sunlight and recite the Quran at the same time. So that's the excellent time to get vitamin D. And of course, fresh air. I'll just remind you that going out is discouraged, but letting fresh air in is encouraged. So open the window, go to your terrace, go to your garden. If you do not have any garden or terrace, then it's okay. Just open the window and let the breeze come in, right? Just a little bit about sleep. So since most of us are enjoying holidays these days, do not turn into like summer vacations in which, you know, the entire world is sleeping. Okay, not the entire world. A lot of people are sleeping during the daytime and they are awake at the night. I don't understand how does that work and how are they functional doing this. Remember one thing, that adequate sleep is a must. It just helps the body with all its repair process. One of the things that we can absolutely try these days is to go bed after Isha, because most of us are under curfew. I'm not sure which part of the world are you from and are you under curfew or not, but we are under curfew. So since you cannot go out, you can practice this beautiful sunnah of sleeping after Isha. And this is the time when, of course, sleeping gives you the best result. Also, you know, there's a, I just don't want to be very technical here, but this is the topic that I absolutely love. So I'll just add a little bit here that there's a hormone called melatonin that is released as, you know, the light changes. And it signals the body that it's time to sleep. So when all your lights are turned on and, you know, all the gadgets are turned on, it just messes up with the melatonin production. So I just encourage you to shut the ceiling lights off. That you might be seeing that my ceiling light is on. So if you turn off the ceiling lights and just turn on the small lamps, it will just help your body to respond to melatonin signals and also give you a signal to sleep. And one of the reasons that we are falling into depression these days a lot is that, you know, we are, again, the way just I said, we are staying awake during the night and we are sleeping during the day. Remember, Allah has made the night to sleep. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا, you know, and we have made the night as covering, meaning, you know, through its darkness. So remember, the more we go against nature, the more we fall into trouble. How to build the internal environment is how you build your immunity. So just a few suggestions. I'm sure that all of you would be knowing about all these things, but just a reminder for myself and for all of you. Black seed, in Arabic we call it Habba Aswad, has shifa for everything except death. That's what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. So maybe having a few and actually chewing it so as to take maximum benefit of it in the morning and in the evening, inshallah it will help. Of course, then you have honey, especially the sidr one and the manuka that have medicinal, not the one that we actually get from our grocery shops, but the real honey. It's an excellent cough syrup as well. Fig, dates, especially making nabiz out of dates, talbina, olive oil, moisture, steam. You might have read about the virus causing a lot of dryness. So you have dry cough, dry throat, and all these things. Your throat also gets dry when you're speaking a lot. So keep your throat moist by taking steam if you have, God forbid, contracted any virus or. Then you also have, did I talk about garlic and ginger? Ginger tea is especially useful. Cinnamon, all the things that are already available in your kitchen, inshallah, they are going to be really helpful in boosting the immunity. Other precautions? I'll take this question right now. So Sister Laiba is asking, we are craving hugs and human touch. How to manage that? See, I have not read anywhere that you have been banned from hugging your parents or hugging your mother or your siblings or the people you are living with, right? So although it's discouraged generally, like I was reading somewhere that they were also asking, you know, ask your children not to hug you and all that, but I don't see there's much harm in just shaking hands or hugging with the people that you're sharing the room with, right? So other precautions that we have been told again and again, and just go through it because all of us know it, hand washing. So wash your hands more frequently. Social distancing means avoiding people in general, avoiding handshakes, of course, with the neighbors, with other people. But it's okay if you're living in the same house, same room, to shake hand, to hug. That much is fine, inshallah. Avoid partying and avoiding, you know, kind of standing on the road and talking to people. Avoid going out of the house as much as you can. Grocery, I would recommend you to check out a few videos on YouTube on how to sanitize grocery. I actually went to YouTube and found out that how they are sanitizing their grocery when they are bringing it from the grocery stores, and it was really helpful, right? I don't have the time to get into the details, but it's a simple method, and it will really help, inshallah. Yes, do not go out unnecessarily, but make sure that the house is properly ventilated. Again, I just said that, I'm saying this again, let the fresh air come in, and please stay home. And inshallah, if we stay home, remember the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we will be rewarded. So let's talk about how to deal with the entire situation spiritually. My question to you is, I'll ask you a simple question. It's not a lecture, or it's not a sermon. It's just a very simple human to human connection, right? So my question is, simple question is, what makes Allah happy? A very simple question. I'm looking for a very simple answer. Obedience, very good. What else? Ibadah, very good. Okay, repentance, very good, very good. You all are on point, very good. Okay, I'll just summarize it for you. Two things make Allah very happy: fulfilling hukukullah and fulfilling hukukul ibadah. Fulfilling his rights and taking care of the rights of his people, right? So when we talk about hukukullah, what does it contain? Ibadah, as all of you said, so five time salah is non-negotiable, right? When I'm telling you the other things, I assume that all of us are praying five times salah, right? That's a bare minimum. That's fard, right? Being kind to others, of course, excellent. So then the second thing is repentance. Yes, we'll talk about istighfar. I would say plan istighfar. Plan istighfar as in just make sure, when are you going to seek Allah's forgiveness? What would that time be, right? The time is right now. And as you're planning that, I'll cook in the morning, I'll cook in the evening, just plan, when am I going to seek repentance? And I'm not saying that, just walking around and saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. It's just like sitting down, talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the things that I did in my past, and I'm just asking for tawfiq that I should not repeat it again in future, and I'm asking for your forgiveness, and I am asking for the power and your mercy to not repeat it in the future, inshallah, right? So make a lot of istighfar. And I was just telling sisters all around that teach your children how to do it. It's not that just, don't assume that everything can be learned by children just like that. Just teach them how to do it. Share the story of Yunus alayhi salam and the people of Yunus alayhi salam and his nation, how they repented together and collectively, and then they were forgiven, and how Yunus alayhi salam himself was forgiven in the darkness and in the belly of the whale, right? Because he made a lot of istighfar. And then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes is his zikr. That just remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just like, certain masajids have been closed, and there's a debate over whether they should have been closed or not. But I keep saying that we can still make dhikr of Allah. We can still remember Allah. Just remember Allah when you're in your bedroom. Remember Allah when you're in drawing room. Remember Allah when you're in your garden. When you're in your kitchen. Remember Allah when you're in your study. Remember Allah every time. Make it a habit to say Bismillah. Make it a habit to recite all the masnoon du'as, because following sunnah, if you want Allah's love, you have to follow the sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And then wasta'inu bis sabri wa salam. Sabr, inshallah, this will pass. I have good hopes in Allah, it will pass. And then salat, we talked about the five non-negotiable fard salah, khalas, you have to do it, there's no other debate on that. And then we have tahajjud, that the time and Allah has promised to answer the du'as. Five times we are turning and we are going back to Allah and we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to us. And he says that, ask and I'll give it to you. So inshallah, make du'a. Talking about a few of the du'as that you can easily find on internet that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited. There are the du'as of protection, like Bismillah alladhi la yadhurru wa Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-baras wal junun wal jazam. These are the du'as that you can memorize yourself, and this is an excellent time to teach this du'a of protection to your children. And if you cannot memorize all of them, then remember the quls in the morning and in the evening, Ayatul Kursi and Subhanallah, Sayyidul Istighfar. These things morning and the evening, inshallah, Allah will protect you. And then, lastly, making his people happy will make Allah happy, right? So serve others in whatever capacity you can. I'll tell you a story of one of my friends. Mashallah, she started thinking about other people, right? And she was thinking about people who were on daily wages. So she started giving food to them, and she devised some rules and regulations. But then a lot of people came to her place to get the food. And then she said that we started giving in the box. And she was like, she was constantly in a process of finding a way to give food to those people. The people who were on daily wages. And of course, they could not get. And I was so amazed. Like, so there are some people who Allah has literally chosen to serve his people. And I was like, I wouldn't ever think so much about like this sister is thinking. Like, subhanAllah, we are like, there are like people who are like so amazing, and they're serving others in a way that's like subhanAllah. So serve others in whatever capacity you can. Buy some extra milk for your neighbors, you know, let go of 1 month rent. I asked this question on my Facebook profile, and a lot of sisters gave a lot of nice responses. They said, you know, maybe we can 1 month grocery in someone's house. So have online classes, have whatever skill Allah has given you, share it with others, inshallah. So this is the holistic way of dealing with the entire situation. And there is khair in everything that Allah puts us through, right? That's how I would just conclude. And remember, trials and testing time, they teach us what ease and comfort can never teach us. So whatever the learning is, please learn the lessons. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and me the tawfiq to come out stronger and a better woman than we were before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in this situation. I'll just wind it up here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu.